I've never understood why the majority of human curses and insults refer to the erotic sphere. Sex is wonderful and associated with beauty, joy, and pleasure. How can the names of the sexual organs be used as a vulgar synonym for drop the subject, Regis, Geralt interrupted. Oh, of course. I apologize. This is Whispers of Oxenfurt, the Witcher podcast, that you are listening to, probably not for the first time, but if so, welcome to Whispers of Oxenfurt, the Witcher podcast. This is the Tower of Swallows, Chapter 7. Afterwards, I'll give a brief history of Wicker Men. Not the Wicker Man. That wouldn't be good for anybody. Maybe the original has some, but not the latest one. After that, I'll give an update on The Witcher Tale, the original story that I plan on putting out in celebration of the 10,000th download. As you can tell by listening to this, that's not quite finished, but we'll get into that afterwards. So this, again, Chapter 7. Let's go. So as we left off last time, Geralt and Regis had reunited, with the vampire assuring the Witcher that they were not followed into Toussaint, and the knight errants who patrol the area would stop them anyway. The druids in the Grove of Mirkvid, who are rumored to burn people alive in a wicker hag, are the same druids that Geralt has been searching for. A woman the vampire knows, a Flamenica, leads the entire circle of druids. Geralt is to enter a nearby cave and, in a way, meet with this woman. It's kind of what it says, but he's to go into this cave as she has been expecting him, and he's to enter the cave without weapons, aggression, and full of the utmost humility. Then his questions will be answered. Geralt wanders in the darkness, and in the massive cave full of stalactites and mites, he is surrounded by Barbagazis that are, for now, peaceful. They seem to communicate with him telepathically, calling him a murderer, killer, and when a young one defecates on his boot, he shoves it away. This, of course, brings out the aggression in the Barbagazis, who restrain him as a knocker rappels down from above. The knocker knocks him in the teeth, but a voice calls out to let him go. The beast says to go to him, and I will be waiting for your return. The next cave he enters is magnificent and features an immense painting on a wall with an elf serving as a painter. He tells Geralt that this painting of a primitive hunting scene will trick modern scholars into thinking it is thousands of years old, except he cannot resist signing it, vanity and all. His name is Creven Espen Ep Kroman Mjaka, or Avalok.
Appearances can be deceiving.
The elven sage then denigrates Geralt and the entire human race by saying he is superior to him in every way by matter of being an elf. He opens up the painting, splits it in two, and shows Geralt a cave full of elven sculptures and statues. The painting was designed, or still is designed, to prevent humans from picking at the wall in case this other cave should be found. Geralt perks up when the sage mentions the Swallow, the Savior, the one who will open the forbidden door and cause a rebirth, the child of the Elder Blood. Avalok gives another retelling of how Ciri became, as he calls her, a mutant, born of both races, a special one. Vilgefortz learned about it by accident, while Emir knew seemingly all along, or just as long. He tells Geralt that Ciri does not need his help, that someone else will help her now. And surely Geralt could not be so arrogant to believe that he alone is bound to her. Will Geralt stop if Avalok knew what would happen? Would he try anyway? Geralt says, I don't believe in your metaphysical platitudes about goals, plans, and preordained ideas of creators. Nor do I believe in the celebrated prophecy of Ithian or other prophecies. I consider them, if you can imagine it, the same bullshit and humbug is your cave painting, the purple bison, Avalok, nothing more. I don't know if you can't or won't help me. Nonetheless, I don't feel resentment towards you. He tells Geralt that he will lose Ciri forever, and everyone who accompanies him, one within the next few hours, possibly. The sage tells him that perhaps he can show him Ciri and instructs him how to do so. Geralt sees a series of images that culminate with him realizing that Dandelion, Milva, and Anguillem are in danger. Avalok tells him to get his sword and he will find him a mount, one that will get him to Caed Mirkvid within half an hour. The mount turns out to be the Knocker, who tears through the forests and mountainsides, reeking of vodka and foul breath, but he delivers the Witcher to the forest. Massacred corpses litter the tree line, supposed pilgrims. Geralt soon makes fresh ones in the form of bandits, nightingales, who rummage through a ransacked wagon. He stumbles upon more bodies, including druids, and pecks another fight. A knight in full armor comes to his aid and suffers a bit for it as well. Geralt and him finish off the bandits, and he says that he is a knight errant in service to Duchess Anna and Henrietta.
I swear on my Lady Scarter!
The checkered knight and witcher race to help his friends, and would you believe it, come across Stragan and Shuru in a basic battle breaking out amongst Nightingale's gang, some Nilfgaardians, and the knights errant of Toussaint. An agile enemy turns the tables on Geralt, his ever-throbbing knee aching. Milva comes to his rescue, and the remaining knights errant chase down the bandits. One of the knights, sporting a black bull's head on a silver field,
"By my honor, they will hang,"
is about to attack Milva and Geralt, mistaking them for enemies, but the checkered knight stops him. Dandelion and Anguillem stick their heads out, and the fighting already ended, dang. It's too bad we just arrived, can you believe that? Man, what rotten luck that we weren't here to fight. No, I'm doing Anguillem a disservice there. I'm just teasing, but not Dandelion. Milton recognizes Dandelion as the Viscount Julian, which Geralt is like, what, the Viscount Julian? Where did that, it's just, don't worry about it, Geralt. And says that the Duchess will be ever so pleased to see him, which he will deliver personally to her at the castle in Beauclair. Dandelion is over the moon to hear that the Duke died 2 years ago, and he gladly will ride to Beauclair to see the Duchess, while the rest of the Ansa will enter druidic territory and find the gang. Anguillem says that the poet had an affair with the Duchess, and the Duke vowed to tear out his heart and make his cheating wife eat it. Romance. Milva tells him to shut up as a bandit rushes past them, white as a sheet, with terror stricken across his face. To their astonishment, a massive oak tree is moving through the forest, quite nimbly at that. A druidess is controlling it and making sure not to kill whom it picks up, but keep its prey alive. It grasps Geralt, Milva, and Anguillem and takes off. In a clearing, they are shown what happens to those who trespass. Wicker men. Stragan and Shuru are encased in a wicker basket, each, respectively. Geralt calls out to the Flaminica that he is the Witcher Geralt, a friend of Emael Regis. She says, "Oh, that's all you had to say." She sets him down and tends to an injured Milva. The Witcher tries in vain to stop the burning of the bandit duo as he needs information, but wriggling out of punishment is immoral. Anguillem points out that his medallion was with Shuru and is now gone. "Too bad," he said a moment later, looking into the Flaminica's cornflower blue eyes. "I'm no longer a witcher. I've stopped being a witcher. I've learned that now. On Thanid, in the Tower of the Seagull, in Brokolon, on the bridge over the Yoruga, in the cave beneath Gorgon, and here in Mirkvid Forest." No, I'm not a witcher now, so I'll have to learn to manage without my medallion. So wicker men, wicker hags and all that, what do we know about the actual history of them? The fact is that all knowledge we know or claim to know is outside knowledge or secondhand. There are no first-hand accounts from druids detailing their lives and what they did. This is much like medieval peasants, as they weren't really keen to keep diaries or, you know, be literate. So most of this comes from the Romans. So, wicker men, well, the mythology would be Celtic mythology, which would cover modern-day Britain and Ireland, basically, in the years roughly 500 BC or so, or BCE, and then 500 AD, or Common Era. This also includes the Gauls of modern-day France, which is where we get the recounts of his campaigns in Gaul, called the Gallic Wars, of Gaius Julius Caesar. Yeah, that Caesar. He mentions how the Gauls would put people inside stick figures and burn them as a sacrifice, usually criminals or other ne'er-do-wells. Again, many Romans write about this, but it could just be propaganda, as they would obviously look down upon these people as primitive savages. Like, not only are they not Romans, I mean, if you're not a Roman, you're just obviously a savage. But someone doing something like that, it's just very easy to denigrate them for, you know, back home. Modern day usage is, of course, without the human element, the most famous probably at the Burning Man Festival in Nevada. So to recap, there is no historical or empirical evidence that they were used for human sacrifice. It would also seem to be really hard to build something that's structurally sound to contain persons or people. But it does make for an interesting fantasy tale, especially just sticking them in a bag, or not a bag, a little hag, or a god-awful Nicolas Cage movie. So next up, a little update on the original tale. It'll be at least another week for the story, as you can tell by listening to this. It's coming along nicely, but I need to clean it up, and I want to also make sure that it stays under 30 minutes. I want to even keep it to the 20-25 minutes, as I don't want it to drag. I want it to be really quick, but also enough in there to where it doesn't feel rushed or forced. So basically, a quick summary of it is it follows the school of the Cat Witcher as he teams up with a female knight errant of Toussaint to track down a woman who poisoned a wedding party. I wanted to use a cat, someone from School of the Cat, as there isn't much from them in the books, and with their checkered history and reputation, such as taking on contracts of people, being assassins, general rogues, and also being rumored to have women as witchers, there's a lot to explore and especially delve into the moral ambiguity. I'll explain in detail more about the story after I put it out, but also just want to be clear that this is not like a fan fiction of Sapkowski's writing. I'm not trying to emulate his writing. That is a book. This is not written in that kind of prose. These are also wholly original characters. Nobody from the books or even Seta Project Red's games will show up. Now, they might say something like, oh, an emperor or a king or something like that, but nobody will have dialogue like, Geralt is never going to show up. Nobody from these will ever show up. It is wholly separate. I'm not trying to model what they have done. And also, it is a cross between a screenplay and novel, as I don't want to get bogged down in descriptions, as that always turned me off to audiobooks. My attention span isn't really what it used to be. And so when listening to audiobooks, as they get into this description, I would almost just seemingly get distracted by it. So with this, it's kind of going to be a cross, and like I said, I can only do what I know. So I received a direct message on Twitter from White Wolf, and it says, "Hey Brett, I just heard one of your last podcasts, and I want you to know that I do really enjoy your work. I am Puerto Rican and grew up in the countryside, so I did not receive much English influence growing up. In other words, English is my second language, and has always been a struggle. What I'm trying to say is that after reading the novel several times, so I could understand them better, Listening to your podcast has helped me solidify my understanding even more. I'm very grateful because of your views and summaries give me more reasons to love the Witcher universe. I hope you keep up podcasting the novels. Thanks again. And yes, absolutely, I'm going to keep up podcasting the novels. And for those that haven't heard it before, when the show comes out or anything concrete solid on the show, such as whenever they do a tease or whatever, I'll put out something about that. So again, very kind email. And as I responded to them on Twitter, the English is better than probably half the people in Texas that I know. So thanks again for listening. So send all comments, questions, suggestions, all of that like to witcherpodcast@gmail.com. Also Twitter @witcherpodcast. Again, send me a DM there. Any questions like that, tweet it out. It might even be better to do that because then you kind of get a discussion on it. And as usual, I'm falling behind on the interaction in there. I need to put out more on that. So I'll do that as it comes about. But, you know, I just don't want to throw out over and over just useless stuff to do. You know, it's kind of don't open your mouth unless something useful is going to come out. That kind of tends to me for tweeting too. Not always, but sometimes. Next episode, I'm not sure what it's going to be. So until next time.